Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our message today is the gospel for today from Luke chapter 9, and it's printed on pages 5 and 6 of the worship folder, and we'll certainly be referring to it during the course of the message. In your mind, do you think that the Christian church is being persecuted in the United States today? Do you think that you personally are being persecuted because you're Christian? And I see some of you nodding yes, and some of you just kind of got that look in your eye like you're kind of thinking about it. It really all depends on your definition of persecution. The church has been persecuted from the beginning, hasn't it? You go back into the beginning of the Christian church, and you read the book of Acts, and you hear how Peter and John were arrested, thrown in prison, and beaten for teaching people about Jesus. Herod had the apostle James, the brother of John, executed. Stephen was stoned to death. The apostle Paul, when he was still Saul the Pharisee, said he was going around arresting Christians, putting them in prison, and, as he admitted, leading some of them to their death. And look at the persecutions under the Roman government. 64 AD, Emperor Nero started publicly executing Christians. All of the apostles, with the exception of John, were executed because they were Christians. The absolute worst one was Emperor Diocletian. 300 years later, 303 AD, he issued a decree stating that all Christian congregations had to be disbanded, all Christian churches were to be destroyed, all Christian property was to be confiscated. Anyone found in a Christian assembly, including a worship service, was to be executed, and Christians were banned from holding any public office in the Roman Empire. Just awful persecution. What a lot of people don't understand, though, is that more Christians died for their faith in the 20th century, in the 1900s, than in every other century combined. And we look at today and we're just appalled at, you know, the atrocities against Christians performed by the Taliban in Afghanistan, and the beheadings of groups like ISIS today. What people forget about is that early in the 19th century, under Lenin and Stalin, when they took over the Soviet Union and pushed their atheistic, godless communism, that they closed and shuttered every Russian Orthodox church in the Soviet Union. In 1949, Emperor Mao in Japan ordered that every Christian missionary either had to go home or be executed for the same reason, a godless communist government. And in the Sudan, over 1 million Christian non-Muslim people were executed by their Islamic government. Now, if that's your definition of persecution, then I guess we aren't being persecuted. But personally, I believe that it is becoming more and more unpopular and difficult to be a Bible-believing Christian in our society today. And what I mean by Bible-believing Christian is a Christian who actually stands up for the teachings of the Bible, and a Christian who is actually willing to say what they believe, that Jesus Christ is not only my way to heaven, but Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Do you know how unpopular that is in our society today? And it's getting worse. So when the Bible talks about Christians taking up their crosses and undergoing persecution, it's something you and I ought to be well aware of. Do you ever wonder why all those Christians over the centuries have been willing to give up everything they had and even be executed rather than give up Jesus? What made their faith so strong? Well, the words that Jesus is speaking to us today will help us understand that. You know, this was a time when Jesus' popularity was at its peak. Jesus had performed all kinds of miracles, and word was getting out. He fed thousands of people with a handful of food. He healed all kinds of diseases, drove out demons, walked on water, controlled the weather. People were following him. But instead of reveling in his high public opinion polls and approval rating, Jesus went off by himself with his disciples to get away from all of that. And the reason was he knew that people were following him for all the wrong reasons. They liked the miracles, they liked the healing, they liked the food. But they weren't listening to the message. So Jesus pulled his disciples aside and he asked them a simple question. He said, "Who do people say that I am? You know, what are people saying about me?" And the disciples said, "Well, some think you're John the Baptist come back to life. Other people think you're Elijah or one of the other prophets who came back to life." So that's what people were saying. They looked at Jesus as being a special person and maybe even sent from God and maybe a prophet because he was a teacher, he was a miracle worker, right? Just a wonderful guy. But then Jesus turns to them and he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter was the first to answer. He said, "You're the Christ of God." What does that mean? You're the Christ of God. Now we look at Jesus as Jesus Christ, right? Well, Christ was not his last name, it was his title. The same as the Old Testament Messiah. It means the anointed one, the chosen one. What Peter was saying is, "Jesus, you just asked me what I believe about you, and I'm telling you what I personally believe. Jesus, I believe you are the Christ of God. I believe that you are the promised Savior. Jesus, I believe that you are my Savior." Just a wonderful confession of faith in Jesus, and certainly a confession that you and I would all agree with, right? But see, Jesus knew that even his 12 apostles did not fully understand why he had come. So this is what he says to them. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law. He must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Now, try to put yourself in their position. These men were on top of the world. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Christ who had come, and they were his closest friends. You know, and sometimes I picture them as thinking, Jesus is going to take over the throne in Israel, and what about the 12? Well, maybe Peter is going to be his vice president, and John his secretary of state, and maybe James his chief advisor, right? And the others have cabinet positions. This was just great. But all this arrested, suffering, and dying stuff, they didn't want to hear that because it wasn't part of their plan. for Jesus. It must have been a shock as they heard Jesus say that. It took them from up here and just dropped their spirits. What do you mean, Jesus? What are you talking about? What do you mean you're going to be arrested and executed? Look at all the things you can do. Look at all the things you can do for us. Look at all the things you could do for the kingdom of Israel, and you're telling us you're going to die? It's not going to happen, Jesus. Well, then he looks at them, and he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and daily follow me. Didn't make it any better. He said, okay, not only am I going to suffer and die, but if you really want to follow me, you're going to have your own crosses to bear. And they did, right? I mean, they were there. They watched Jesus get arrested. They saw his beaten and bloody body as he carried his cross out to Calvary, and they were all too familiar with what crucifixion was. And then personally, they faced the persecution that we mentioned earlier under the Roman government, the Jewish people, and their own personal martyrdom for Jesus. And why did they do it? Because they believed that Jesus was the Christ of God. They believed he was their Savior. They believed that when he went to that cross, he went to that cross for them, that their sins were forgiven, and Jesus was the only one who could get them to heaven, and they were willing to give up everything. Their personal popularity, their families, their property, even their lives, rather than lose out on the forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus had won for them. And that's the same reason people have suffered that persecution throughout the ages, is because they knew that Jesus was the Christ of God. And of course, that brings us to us today, right? So what about you? If Jesus said to you, who do you say that I am? What would you answer? And this isn't a group question. We're not going to take a vote or get a consensus. It's for you personally, for me personally. Who do you say Jesus is? Same as Peter, right? The Christ of God. We believe that Jesus is our Savior. We believe he died for our sins. We believe he's the only way to eternal life. But is that really what you're looking for Jesus to do for you? Now, there are so many people in our society today who claim faith in Jesus, but all they want is for Jesus to do the miracles. They want Jesus to heal them of all their diseases so they never get sick. They want Jesus to take all of their personal problems away. They want Jesus to control the weather so it never rains on their personal parade. But when it comes to Jesus being the only way to heaven, well, they back off. I had a Christian pastor tell me one time, I believe that Jesus is my way to heaven, but not necessarily the only way to heaven. What kind of Christianity is that? When it comes to standing up for the teachings of the Bible in our godless society, even Christians are saying, well, those are Old Testament. Those are old rules and regulations. They don't apply to us today. Well, is Jesus the Christ of God or isn't he? And what kind of crosses are you personally willing to bear? Are you willing to put up with the ridicule? When people call you narrow-minded, unloving, because you stand up for what the Bible says? You know, just because I disagree with someone's lifestyle doesn't mean I hate them. It means I stand up for what the Bible says. No matter how unpopular it is. Just because I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven doesn't mean that I hate other religions. It means I'm willing to stand up for the fact that Jesus is the Christ of God. And my friends, we can't let those convictions slip past us. We have to stand up for them. And if it means losing friends and losing popularity, then so be it. And I pray it never comes, but if the persecution gets to the point where we have to put our lives on the line, and somebody from ISIS is holding our hair and putting the sword to our throat, we'll still say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ of God, and for the same reason. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And we can put up with whatever comes our way, whatever cross Jesus wants us to bear, but never lose out on the forgiveness and the eternal life that is ours through Jesus alone. It's not easy being a Christian. But you know what? When we stand before God and we walk through the gates and into those mansions of heaven, it'll all be worth it, right? Because that's why Jesus came. He's the Christ of God. He's the Savior. He's the only way to heaven. Amen.